Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci on a newsworthy Tuesday. Whoa, indeed. Oof. Ray Farmer, the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns. Michael Lombardi is out. Joe Banner will be here for a few more months to aid in the transition, but for all intents and purposes, he is out as the Browns have restructured their organization. Alex Shiner remains the president. The head coach, Mike Pettine, remains. And now the general manager is Ray Farmer. All three will now directly report to owner Jimmy Haslam, who made the announcement at a press conference earlier today. We will hear Jimmy Haslam's comments later on in the program. We want to get a lot of reaction from you, 216-578-0850. Of course, you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Jim Donovan will join us, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network at 135. Gerard Cherry will be by in hour number two. But other than that, it is going to be all about you guys. And we're going to kick things off right now with an interview with the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer.
We are joined right now by the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer. And Ray, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's an exciting day, and it's an exciting opportunity for me and my family this time.
Capture that. You say exciting. I mean, what's going on inside your head? And take us back to when you first learned of this. What was it, yesterday afternoon, evening? What were the circumstances?
Last night, I get a phone call from Jimmy Haslam, and he explains kind of what's happening. And so from that point, I don't know, the jubilation sets in. But then on top of that, there's the notion of what just happened for me to get this opportunity. And so there is always the reflection period of kind of where you were and kind of where you're going. But nevertheless, I do believe that my excitement, my joy, my wife's happiness for myself, my mom and dad, just the tight circle, your inner circle for me that I called, their joy for me is really kind of what stands out in my mind.
Ray, how surprised were you when you got that call from Jimmy Haslam last night? Was that even something that was on your radar as a possibility?
Not on my radar at all. I think the biggest part of what I was focused on was preparing for the combine, preparing for the draft, preparing for free agency, watching more players, writing more reports, kind of really trying to make sure I was immersed in what each player could potentially bring to the Cleveland Browns. And then you get the phone call, and definitely a moment of excitement and jubilation for what's about to transpire.
What will be, I'm going to use the word different, but because you're different in the sense that you're the GM and you hadn't been before. Michael Lombardi was leading that role, Joe Banner as CEO. You're in charge of this thing now, but you've been a part of what they were a part of leading up to this point. So give us a sense of transition, if there is any, or how does that work? Is there now a different philosophy because you're in charge going forward?
I think there's a slightly different philosophy, but I think I really would like to avoid the comparisons to before and now or the future. I think moving forward, what I really would like to tell everyone is that the plan, as it equates to me, is really focused on the connective parts of it, making sure that Coach Pettine and I are completely on the same page. We understand exactly what each position is. It's been well-defined. It's been talked through. It's been identified as to if we have somebody on campus that can do those things, if we don't, and then how do we go about finding someone to fill those needs? Building a team is never about having the most talented 53. It's about having the 53 that fit together, work together, play together. So there's definitely a large piece of this in my mind that simply comes down to evaluating people and having those people's skills.
You stressed in your press conference earlier, you stressed it again there, kind of working in concert with Coach Pettine. And I know you were a part of the coaching search. You weren't in the room for the interviews per se, but certainly were very involved in that. What is it about Coach Pettine that excites you to get to work with him and how you see that relationship coming together?
I think at the core, he's a football guy. And when you look in his eye, when you meet him, he screams passion. He screams toughness. He screams relentlessness. He screams that he's going to be productive. He's going to get it done. And if he's got to stand there and bust a sledgehammer for 12 hours to do that, he's going to do those things that it takes. And I think that's what I'm excited about. Again, for me, there's a big part of this process that is rooted in kind of who I am as a person. And I think it's like that for everyone. So I think when you meet Mike Pettine, you meet a guy that's rooted in blue collar, work ethic, toughness, gritty. And I think that's what the city of Cleveland will learn to appreciate about Mike Pettine in time, and that I already have. And I think the same is true with me, is that a lot of people see me and they hear, oh, he went to Duke, he played in the National Football League. They may get the impressions of spoiled or smart or whatever other adjectives they may want to assert to me. But the reality is that my mom, secretary, dad, truck driver, you know, small town kid, you know, it's different. It's not really what you think. There's a lot inside me, and there's a lot inside him that I think will work together in unison.
How proud are you knowing that that is where you started from to get to this point now to be a general manager in the National Football League?
I think that it's a big moment. My mom and dad are dear. I mean, dear to me. I really, 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 really am excited for their joy. So, it's a big moment.
Congrats.
Tell people a little more about you, because we've known you as, okay, the assistant GM slash, you know, this rising star guy, because that's what Joe Banner and especially talked about when you were brought aboard and how happy they were to have you as an asset last year. But a little more about you and what makes you tick. Yeah, you've played in this league, but what should people kind of know about you, because they're going to want to get to know you now that you're in this role?
That's interesting. Family first, people first, but family first.
And dogs, Coco?
Yes, I do have a dog, Coco. So vote for Coco. That's my wife.
What kind of doggy is Coco?
Coco is a lap dog. Is a small little purse Yorkie poo, if you will.
Oh my God.
Yes.
We had the same thing, and my older daughter named the dog Coco because it looked to her, just because of the coloring of the fur and everything, like a cup of cocoa. And she named him, and of course he became our dog.
Yes.
And then, you know,
that's currently what's happened in my.
Yeah,
house.
I was gonna say that's not a typical football guy dog.
Not a football guy dog. But the dog was purchased on Christmas a couple years ago with the exact presence of this is going to the kids, and big mistake. They definitely have turned the dog over to my wife.
I was going to say, you got, the parents still run the deal. The kids, like, back out of it. That's awesome. But as far as, like, being a former player, having played linebacker in this league, how much of that comes into your thinking in personnel evaluation?
A large part of it. I think that, for me, my playing experience really helps me understand on both sides of the ball what guys are doing, why they're doing, how effective they are at doing. And I think that it's a production league. And so you want to see guys that can demonstrate not only the physical abilities, but the requisite talent to consistently be effective at their jobs. So as you watch guys at whatever level they're playing at, you get an understanding of who can play. I always use the analogy that players know players. When you roll the ball out and we start shooting basketball, if none of us have ever played, we'll know right away who we want on our teams. And so I think that it serves me well that I played and I've had the exposure to professional coaching, to being on the field, to being in the locker room, to understand the dynamics that it takes to build a team.
When you talk about your philosophy, not in a comparative statement, but just the Ray Farmer general manager philosophy, how much is it rooted in scouting? How much is rooted in your past experiences? And what role, if any, is there for the analytics movement that I know is popular in this building that has kind of come into the National Football League? What's the Ray Farmer formula?
I think the Ray Farmer formula is pretty simple. It's comprehensive, it's collective, and it's well thought out. I don't think that any medium is out of bounds. We got to use analytics for what it can provide us. It may not be that this is a 99% hit rate, but if we can go from 45 to 65, that improves
massive.
Us. That's a massive hit for us in the right way. I think that using smart people, using creative people. Not thinking about things in general terms or in the regular sense is going to provide a benefit to us. I try to work outside the norm, think about things in a different way, go about collecting information differently than people have in the past. And so as you get all of those little tugs and pulls at you from different directions, most people think that it clouds your judgment. I would say that it's definitely allowed me to narrow my focus.
Paints a better picture.
How much, speaking of that picture, how much can you tell us with regard to your mesh with Mike Pettine as a coach and the system that he has and getting those system fits for what he's doing primarily defensively, but really overall, that you can explain right now. What's the profile of a Browns player or certain players by position as you understand it based on what you know of Mike Pettine?
I think the simplicity of this is that he's constantly Coach Pettine, that is, I should say.
Yeah.
But he's constantly referenced guys on this team that are going to play like Browns. And playing like Browns, every player we have will be passionate. He'll be tough. He'll play relentless. He'll be competitive. He'll be instinctive. And he'll produce. I think that as we work through finding those guys, you got to identify guys that have those traits, that bring those things to life. And as you watch a guy play, you know, it's always interesting. I had a good conversation with a buddy back when I was in Kansas City. He actually doesn't work in football, works in another consulting firm, and gave me a book called How to Measure Anything. And it's interesting because a lot of times in sports, people say you can't measure heart. Well, I actually think you can. There are things that tell you if a guy plays with heart. Does he play with passion? Does he play with toughness? And starting to identify those pieces to the puzzle will help us understand who we need to be and what guys are truly, quote-unquote, Browns.
Can you give us some for instances on heart measurement? How do you do that?
Again, I gave you a couple. I think Coach Pettine is dead on when he starts talking about passion, okay, relentlessness, toughness, competitive. The guys that don't give up on plays, the guy that hustles when he's on the backside and the play is completely out of reach, the guy that he's double-teamed but he continues to fight knowing that he's going to give up just an inch. It's all of the little things. It's in the detail that allows us to identify whether a guy is going to take us to the next step. And identifying those guys on top of the rest of his job will help us identify the right guys that should be Browns.
One of the most important decisions you're likely to face. And honestly, you got to be pretty excited to step in a situation where you know you have the number four pick, three of the first 35. We know about the free agency money. But obviously, it's a quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. As you've gone through this, and I'm not going to ask you who, obviously, but has anyone separated themselves for you in your evaluation process amongst these quarterback candidates that might be available to you at number four? Or do you see it, because you look around, you see one guy one here, one guy one there, and kind of a feeling that the three might be interchangeable. But in your mind, is there a clear leader?
I think there's a bundle of guys that are at the top. And we will sift through that bundle and decide what the appropriate order is. And I think from that perspective, we'll decide if and when it's time for us to make a selection. Is the guy that's in the quarterback bundle better than the guy that's in the running back bundle, or better than the wide receiver bundle, or the defensive end, or the corner? But again, I think you really got to take the best player. You got to take the best player because your team has to be well-rounded enough that it can withstand the injury to any one person. One person can't be the key to everything.
I know it all comes under the general heading of build a winner, but what is job one for you right now? What's on your priority list as we sit here?
Priority one is to continue to work with the coaches and work with the scouts to the combine and make sure that we are in lockstep at the combine of identifying these players, going through the interview process, getting a chance to meet with the players, understanding who they are from a football and a personal character perspective.
And as far as the help that you might need or want to have, we heard Jimmy Haslam say during the news conference that he expected you to be adding some people there. You said that there might be some people not in the building that would be helping along. Can you give us a sense of how that's going to work and exactly what you need in terms of resources that you'll be provided to do your job?
I think that I'm prepared to move along as though no one's here, but I do believe that counsel is always wise. So there are people that aren't here that I think I've used in the past that you can call for ideas and circumstances that may present themselves. And if that's the case, then I definitely will be looking to those people in the ways that I have in the past.
Ray, we know the draft is of critical importance this entire offseason. You spent 6-plus years as the director of pro personnel in Kansas City, so obviously assessing pros, something that you're very, very good at. Talk a little bit about this free agency period. What's your philosophy in free agency as it relates to spending, and also if there are any updates at all about two potential free agents who are very good here for the Cleveland Browns in T.J. Ward and Alex Mack?
I would definitely say that my expertise has probably come on the pro side. That being said, I think that free agency this year is unique in the sense that you always have to make the best decision for who you are and the players that are available. Not everybody in free agency fits who we are. And there are some good players that don't necessarily fit who we are. So I think that I would caution everyone to don't be excited just about the name, but be more concerned about what his role is going to be for the Browns. That's going to be a hard thing for fans this offseason, particularly because they haven't seen us play and they don't really know who we are yet. So the knowing and the trusting and believing is going to come in time. But I am certain that as we move forward, that we'll make the right decisions. And as it equates to spending, cap room is an asset, but it's like my mom and dad said, you can save all you want, but sooner or later you got to spend a dollar to get the use out of it. So we'll figure out what the right usage for that money is, and when it's time to pull the trigger on the right person, we will.
Ray, thank you so much.
Yes.
For your time, and we wish you nothing but the best. And
thank
you're
you.
You're obviously welcome back here as many times as you want to come on and let us know what's happening in your world.
I'll let you know as Zach tells me it's okay to let you know.
Yeah, Zach Gilbert is a little bit of the gatekeeper in that regard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. He is Ray Farmer, the general manager, the new GM of the Cleveland Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. Don't